Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, all flight controllers, I'm going around the horn. Make your go-no goes based on the data you have for an LOS. I see we got it back. Give you another few seconds.
We're going, flight.
Okay, retro, go. Fido, go. Guide,
go.
Control,
go.
Telcom,
go.
GNC,
go.
Econ,
go.
Surgeon,
go.
Capcom, we're go to continue PDI.
Coming to you live from the Haunted Studios in Shingle Springs, California, this is Ghost Rider Paranormal Radio with your host, John Almada.
And it's Sunday night. It's July 25th, 2010. My God, how the year has gone quickly, and it is hot here in the Sierra Nevada. Boy, is it hot. We spent the day indoors most of the day. I actually did a lot of that domestic stuff. A man cleaning his house. We did a bunch of that. We did, though, get outside and had the great deer chase number two. We have a breach in the fence, so we were working on that, and I'm going to be tomorrow night with a chainsaw and snips and things like that to get the fence back online because, yeah, we had a doe and her two fawns came in, and we were running around like a bunch of old people. And that was a lot of fun to watch. And anyway, we got all of them out of here. The hummingbirds have descended upon me. I decided to put a hummingbird feeder outside my little studio out there next to the garden. And it is now, there's whale wars on TV. We have hummingbird wars outside of my house right now. And boy, they are going through that hummingbird nectar really fast. So we are going to be buying a big load of that stuff and, you know, keeping those guys fed because they're a lot of fun and it's just fun to watch them. And I actually replaced a little bit of that today and it turned out while I was changing out the bottle, they were descending and flying right around me all congratulating me or something for doing that for them. Let's see. I got Karen on the line here. I think that's Karen. Karen, are you there?
That's me. Hello.
You're here. And Karen is here, and we're going to play some of her EVPs. I'm having a little difficulty getting into my site with your files that you uploaded because I can't remember my password.
Oh, geez.
Sorry. it was like the end of showtime, and I'm going, I don't remember what my password is for my own bloody site. I've got to go in there and change things around. So anyway, yeah, because I usually depend on the little thing you just click through and you don't think about it. But let's see. We have the Ovulus PX here. It made its arrival this weekend. And the first thing I did is I unboxed it, plugged in it, grabbed a couple of batteries I had laying around and threw them in, and it didn't work. And I went through just a whole bunch of different sets of batteries. I finally gave in and broke open a new pair, and sure enough, it fired right up. So we have this device, the Ovulus PX. We'll talk about it a little bit later. We're going to actually try that out tonight here live on the air. And got that going on. So let's see. And GRI now has the I actually purchased the truck, and I got myself a truck for the GRI missions. We have a 96 four-wheel drive F-150 Ford in beautiful condition. It's going to be big enough to handle just about anything we want, and it'll crawl over just about anything we need to go out there and hit ghost towns out in the middle of nowhere. So we have the vehicle, and we've got the tools, we've got the technology. And so, Karen, tomorrow I'm going to be going out and getting the air conditioner recharged because it does need that, and so I can keep you cool when you come out on Thursday. So we're going to get that done, and God knows how much I'm going to pay for the, all the stuff I got to do to this thing. But I just feel really good. It was actually my folks' truck. I'd been out looking at trucks, and finally my mother got talking to me. She says, you know, you're the only one that drives that truck. And I went, you're right. And we got talking some more, and we worked out a price, and sure enough, I got my truck. So we'll go through the transfer here next month and get that done, but I'm getting it all fixed up, and we're going to go out to Bodie. That's coming up this this weekend, and we're going to be, not this weekend, but the following weekend here. And Karen is flying out. We're also going to have Renee Martin, our number two here at GRI, is going to be with us, and we're all going to go out there and actually sleep in an older ghost town that's right next to Bodie called Masonic. And it's got buildings just as old, if not older, than what you see at Bodie. And I just have a sneaking suspicion we're going to run into some spirits out there, and we'll be sleeping amongst them. So that should be interesting to see, and I'll have plenty of weaponry. And just bring your cold weather gear too, Karen. It gets colder in the Sierras.
How cold it was going to be.
Well, it's the eastern side of Sierra Nevada, so when you're there, it gets hot in the day and it gets a little cooler at night. So I'll bring a bunch of extra blankets and extra coats for everybody and all that stuff. But yeah, it's going to be we're going to be out there in the boonies, and I'll have the CB, and I think I may be able to get cell phone because we're in a direct line to Bridgeport where we're going to be. So that's, you know, maybe we will get lucky and get a cell signal out there. So we'll see. But how are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing fine. I just stepped outside, and it's just so beautiful out. Well, other people might not think so, but the clouds are beautiful. The sun's kind of going down, so there's still light, but the clouds are kind of all blocking it. But it's, you know, you can see light coming through certain parts, so you've got light clouds and dark clouds, and the wind is blowing, and it's just, I just love it.
Oh, did the temperature go down? Did it go down?
Yeah, the wind cools it down a little bit, yeah. Not, I wouldn't say it's cool, no. It's a warm wind, but I just think it's beautiful.
I'm going to have to spend some time out there. I absolutely love Arizona. It's every time I've been there, I've just been impressed with how friendly the people are, and just the scenery is just amazing. It's just always been a positive experience there. So yeah, I'm looking forward to coming back, and I'll be out there with you. Driving out that way. We'll be touring all through there when we do the grand tour here in September. So we got that planned. You ought to take a picture of that. That'd be kind of cool to throw it on Facebook there.
Yeah, I don't know if it would come out because it's probably too dark. And it's dark now. Too late. The sun's gone down.
Well,
kind of look.
All right. So are you now, what have you been doing with your investigation stuff? You have, because you've been working pretty steady. You haven't been out on any hunts in a while, have you?
No. Sorry to say no. Work's boss been on vacation, so I've had to fill in. So I've been working a lot. But it's slowing up now, so.
Yeah, and that's it's kind of working out because it's been real busy our way, and we've had the illnesses and everything all around, and finally gotten past all that, I think. And although I did throw my back out briefly Friday, and so I'm just I've been walking kind of slow, but I'm getting a lot done. You know, out here it was hot, but I was in the shade burying the network line that we're running on right now. I've got about half of it buried now. It's called Direct Bury Cat 5 Cable, so I had that. I paid some extra bucks for that, and it's good quality stuff. So I dug a ditch and threw it in the ground and covered it right up, and it's doing pretty good. But let's see what. On the truck, Jonna Carlson, a medium that is a good friend of mine. She suggested a name for the truck. Would you did you happen to see that on Facebook?
Yeah.
the mystery machine.
Did you see mine?
I liked it. I liked that. I was kind of like, it's not a van, but, you know, I was just thinking, you know, I could call you Daphne every once in a while, and I'll feed Scooby snacks to everybody. Yeah, you can hit me later.
I was going to say, I'm surprised you didn't call it the Scooby truck.
Well, it's a mystery machine. Come on, you know. I mean, we play some Scooby-Doo here once in a while, and, of course, I hand out Scooby snacks to everybody when we do our investigations. I've got that, by the way. I've already got a load of that ready to go. So we're going to be doing good. Oh, Dominica. Yeah, I forgot to do the shout-out. You want to take that, or...
Oh, well, yes, hello, everybody. We have Blue Goose in the room. Hi, Blue Goose, and our Dominica Amore. And we have Fire Witch and Old Crow. And we even have a Raven Crow. We got an Old Crow and a Raven Crow.
Yeah, and let's see. We also got somebody named Karen's Dream is here. Oh, that could be
yeah,
you.
Yeah, just that old person, yeah. Who cares about
some old dude named John just keeps showing up here, you know, some guy, yeah. And then I guess Kathy, I haven't heard from her all day. I've been wondering what's going on with her, so I hope everything's good with Miss Kathy. And let's see, I guess we just had somebody else come. Tony G just popped in. Hi, Tony.
Hi,
good
Tony.
To see you. And let's see, we have, let me see. Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say you were talking about names for trucks.
Did yeah.
You see the name that I put down? Cora.
No, I didn't. Who?
Cora. She's a Scottish goddess.
Cora.
Cora.
Huh. Cora. Goddess of. Goddess of what?
Well, they help with transcending to the other side and all that kind of stuff that she's known for. I put,
ooh.
Put a little thing on your website about her.
Well, you know what? Yeah, because you know what I'm going to do? I've got two things are going to be dealing with the truck. Number one, I've got the trailer basically all ready for it to start the construction on the teardrop. And now that I've got the truck and it's really mine, I'll be able to go out and start getting materials and know what to build to. And so the truck, you know, technically I could do that. I could call the trailer... the mystery machine, and then the truck Cora. I could get the custom plates for that. So that would kind of go together, you know that?
Well, you know, since you're, you know, Scottish descendant and all, I thought that would be kind of cool for you.
Leave me poco, yes, yo. I'm liking myself. I don't have a very good Scottish accent. I sound like a lad from Liverpool. let's see. I'm trying to think of, oh, yes, the ovulus. We have a lot. Yeah, and some news regarding all of that. We have, you know, Chevy Cora. we have some news regarding the manufacturer who builds all these ovuluses and all the specialty devices we have. We've got three different ones, and I'm going to real quick order one more device before he goes out of building hardware. Turns out Bill Chappell of Digital Dowsing is no longer going to build hardware after August. In September 1st, there will be no more hardware sales from Digital Dowsing. It'll all be software that he does. He's evidently cutting his manufacturing costs way down and going to just focus on software and sell paranormal software for telephones, basically. There's such a huge market. And it makes economic sense, but, you know, I am really glad to have the equipment we have from him because, and he, of course, he'll support all that, you know, going forward. That's goes with the, you know, that's just the way it works. He's going to continue building specialty devices for, you know, television shows, things like that. But his real business is going to be in software, and it's a sensible move. A lot of the telephone devices that are out there now have accelerometers and temperature sensors and light meters and, you know, and have circuits that can be co-opted to be used as EMF detectors. So this is changing the way that we do paranormal work. But I really am, you know, thrilled to have the equipment we have. And this Ovulus PX, if you happen to go out to digitaldowsing.com and you just look at the Ovulus PX, it's about, I've got both of them here in front of me, and this thing is about 30% the size of the of the Ovilus 1 that I have on my right hand. On the left hand, I've got this PX. It looks like a little transistor radio, and it's got a what's kind of neat is it's got just two switches and then an audio port, and it has basically a serial port out the back. The serial port lets you hook it up to a computer and actually interact with it through your computer. So what we're going to be doing, I ordered another cable just yesterday once I realized I didn't have what I needed. And we're going to be hooking that up just like we have with our other REG, random event generator system that we use quite often here on the shows. We're going to be hooking this into this lab here and using it regularly here. And it has the ability to export all the words that were said, unlike our original Ovilus. So we should be able to write some tools to be able to export that the words directly to the web. And I'm going to talk to Bill about it and see if he has any suggestions on a way to do that. But what's really neat about it, it just has all these amazing capabilities. So we're going to explore that on the show, and you'll see more of that on Thursday nights. And tonight, you know, we're doing SoulStream tonight because, you know, number one, I didn't have any regular guests lined up, and I looked at Karen, and she said, "Hey, would you like to have me?" And I went, "Yes." And so Karen, this is Karen's show, but we're just going back and forth here. But you know, yeah, it's going to be really neat to explore this device. So I'll show it off a little bit tonight. Towards the end of the show, test that all out and see how that's going. Other big announcement. Big complaints were coming in about the chat room and not having the ability to have the blog talk play button and all that in the same window as the chat. And so what I did is I took it to heart. We had a caller the other night who I got a little ticked off because of the way I thought it was going to be another troll coming in. And then I realized this gal was being genuine, and we had her back on, and I listened, and I thought about it. And the next day I wrote a page, and I went ahead and created this new link that now you'll see on all the show pages. That takes you in, and on the left side you'll see the applet for playing the show, and on the right you'll see the chat room. And I'm just going to put the link down there so people can grab that and bookmark it. So it was a simple thing to do. I just never thought about it and what it was like for you guys trying to use the chat room. So that is in play. And if you still want to use the old chat link, you can certainly do that. I'm going to put it in. Matter of fact, I'm going to modify this page a little bit so that if you decide you don't want to go with the player in the window, we'll just make it so you can go to the old way of doing it. So I'm still designing the page, but I've got it functional now, and that's the important thing is trying these things out. Soliciting your suggestions, as always. We always listen to the audience, so thank you for all your commentary on that and hitting me over the head enough times. I actually did something about it. So. And let's see. Now, let's go ahead and go into some of your cases. And where have you been, Karen, in the last the last several investigations you've been on? And tell us a little bit about what you do and where you go and how you work.
Well, the one that I was exciting that I really would like to talk about is in February I went out to Utah. I went with Maury Moots and my friend Sherry's group called Whispers in the Shadows from Nevada, with LC, and Warren's in that group, but he couldn't make it with us, and three other people from another group there in Nevada. I can't remember their group's name. It was Lori and Robert. And we went, we flew into Salt Lake City, and we drove up to Ogden, and that night we went to the Grand Central Station, which is a museum of the old railroad. We got there late, so we didn't get to stay there very long. Really didn't get that much. I got, maybe two hits on the K2 meter just real quick, and that was about all I got there. But we, like I said, got there late, so we were only there for a short time, and then we had to leave.
Yeah.
But we did go and stay in supposedly a haunted hotel, the Ben Lomond Hotel in Ogden, and they were having the winter festival there, where they had the streets blocked off all around the hotel, and they had snow put on the streets where they were doing horse races and snowmobile races and skiing races, all that kind of stuff there. It was really fun. It was really neat to see. But the hotel itself, we didn't investigate there. We were just staying there because apparently new owners bought it out, and they're not into the ghost thing. So they don't want to have any ghost hunting people there or anything like that. But since we got there so late, we did get to talk to the night watchman, and he was telling us things that had gone on there. And he said, talk to the maintenance man because he's seen a lot of stuff too. He was talking about during Christmas time, they have the lights set up in the lobby area, and his job is to, in the evening, is to go turn off all the Christmas lights. And he turned off all the Christmas lights and went to the front by the door where he usually stays. He also helps check people in late at night. And he says all of a sudden all the lights went on. And he walked
Whoa.
In there, and nobody, this is early in the morning, and nobody was in there. And he looked around, and all the Christmas lights were on. So he went and he turned them all back off again and went back into the front lobby, and they well went back on again.
Talk about a Christmas spirit.
Yeah. Now, well, we didn't do any really investigating there, but I did have something happen to me. I was up early the next morning before most everybody else. I'd gone down, to get a coffee and that. And when I came back, I was coming back up in the elevator. We were on the third floor or something. And as I was coming, the elevator stopped at my floor. The door opened, maybe a foot. And then all of a sudden it closed again. Oh, I laughed. I thought, okay, what the hell's going on? I pushed the button to open the door. I got ahead of myself. When the door opened, I saw a man standing on the other side. He had a blue flannel shirt. I just saw the side of him, like a shoulder and the arm, but I knew it was a man because of the build. And he was about my height, maybe a little taller than me.
Yeah.
And the door closed. I hit the button. The door opened. Nobody was there. And we're talking a matter of seconds here. I was getting ready. I thought it was a real person. I was getting ready to laugh and joke with this man, and there was nobody there. Now, I looked around, went around the corner, looked down the hallways, and they're just long hallways. I heard nothing. There was nobody in the hallways. I was like, okay, did I just have an experience?
You know, this is like what happened to me aboard the Queen Mary. I mean, I had I got checked in, went around the corner about 200 feet from the main desk, suite A025, and I'm sitting there fiddling with my key, and I got all my paranormal hunting gear and my suitcase and everything, and this stately gentleman walks up dressed differently than everybody else on the crew and I didn't see anybody dressed like this ever again. And he comes up to me and says, hello, sir, how are you doing? And I says, oh, great, just getting checked in. He says, oh, you'll find the Queen Mary to be very hospitable. And he goes on and on, telling me stories. And I'm up there 10 minutes talking to them, and we're just chatting away. And it was just, he looked real, and that was the weird part. I mean, it looked as three-dimensional as, I said, my arm is like getting going to sleep. I said, I'm sorry, I'm going to have to put my stuff in. I'll come back out and say hello to you again. So he says, oh, go ahead. And I turn around, go in, and come back, and he's gone. And I look, and it was only a matter of like 10 seconds I was gone and came back to say, say goodbye to him and thank him for his stories. And I ran around, around a corner where there was a bunch of stairs, and you would have heard him moving. He was gone. And it was just like this thing you're talking about. It's just, what the hell?
Yeah.
Just happened
I thought
here.
It was
yeah.
human. It was that solid. I had, no thought of ghost was in my mind. I just thought it weird that the elevator would do that. I've never seen the elevator do that. And when he was gone, I was like, oh my God, because he was solid. It's, just was you and me, I can see the plaid shirt just as clear as day. It was weird.
What time of night was that, or
that
daytime?
That was in the morning.
In the morning?
That was in the morning. That was about, like 7 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, because the reason I asked that is Tony G in the chat room says anyone believe in 3 a.m. dead time. Most of my EVPs were caught during non-dead time hours. And, this is her experience is living proof, you can hunt them in the morning hours, noon, outdoors in the blazing sun. You can see ghosts in the blazing sun. I actually saw a spirit broad daylight in Bodie last year. And now Blue Goose says, what's dead time, 3 a.m. dead time? The going theory is that from right around 9 o'clock till about 3 to 4 a.m. is the time when spirits become more active. Well, I don't quite believe that, but what it does provide you that 9 to 3 to 4 a.m. time for doing ghost hunting is that's the time when human activity is at its least because people are going to bed, they're going to sleep. And our activity dies down, and anything that would be paranormal would stand out more. So, that's probably the more logical explanation as to what dead time is, because it's not that the dead are any more or less active. It's that we're asleep and we're basically dead for all intents and purposes, and the world is theirs. And so that's a good time for an investigator to go out. And the other thing is that apparitions, if they do materialize, are going to tend to be glowing or kind of self-illuminating in some cases. Or if they're a shadow person, they're going to stand out in what limited light there is. So you do have more of a chance of seeing things at those times. So that's kind of the logic I've come to over some years of doing this.
They always figure, I guess, more back east that doesn't apply out here, but at that time of the morning you have more moisture in the air. There's more dew and more moisture, which also helps them manifest.
Actually, here in California, that's the way it is. In the Central Valley and any place with mountains or near the coast or anything like that, you're going to get that. Or if you're near river tributaries now, out where you're at, it's probably a little different one because,
It's still hot here in the morning. I'm sorry.
You're in a friggin' desert.
There's no dew here, yeah.
You're in the Sahara, those are good questions, guys. It's absolutely dead time. In my parlance, dead time is a good time to hunt. It's probably a better time. For a lot of reasons, but don't let that stop you. If you want to do daytime investigation, by all means, go out and do it.
Many EVPs just like out in the cemeteries during the daytime.
Yeah, and that's exactly what our upcoming mission is going to be. We're going out to, on Thursday night, I pick up Karen. I go to work in the morning for a little bit, finish out some last minute business, and then we head out. And we will be out there in the probably late afternoon. Take us 3 to 4 hours to get out to the site, and we'll be pitching our tents and getting all set. And we will be out there in the daytime and doing EVP right out there in the wide open spaces. And it's a great way to work, and it's a lot safer too. If you have any concerns about a particular site when you're out investigating, and you really don't know it very well, hunt it in the daytime. That's the safest way to do it. And then, if you want to go back at night, you know where things are at, you know what the dangers are, you can deal with that. So, in our case, we've been doing internal, inside investigations for a while here with GRI, but our real specialty, what we really like to do, and that's where I'm taking things with the organization, is to go out and do outdoor work, the places where a lot of people don't want to go. And that's why we have a four-wheel drive. That's why we're doing going out in the fields where people don't generally go. And we'll be doing what we can to, if possible, we can broadcast from the field, include you guys on these investigations. And now that we've got some of the changes, the big changes we've been looking for, you'll see those things happen. But get out there, grab your recorder. You don't have to have that much. Get a camera, digital camera, a simple, cheap 32 $80 digital recorder and a notepad and pencil and some research on your part and a willingness to get your feet, in the in the dirt and walk around and you know, confront the unknown. You too can do this stuff. So, yeah. And so let's see. And oh, by the way, I did put the site out there, Karen. The Ben Lomond Suites now. I always like these. They buy these old hotels out, and then they call them suites because it's a corporate thing. I just hate that. You know, why not just keep the old ambiance and call it what it is—the Ben Lomond Hotel. You know?
They're supposed to be restoring it more back to what it used to look like, is what I was told they're going to do.
Yeah, it's just
changed over the years, and they're going to be changing it back to more of what it used to look like.
Well, I hope they do that because you know, it's like a lot of these places. They go out there. They'll, you know, corporate entities buy these places up, and then what they do is they come in and you know, paste this title on it, and it makes it sound like it's any other hotel, and it's really the same place just with a new label on it. And I just never did like that. It just kind of rubbed me the wrong way. I did just put the Haunted Ben Lomond Hotel. HauntedPlacesToGo.com out there. I haven't even looked at this, so if, you know, that's out there for you guys to look at. www.haunted-places-2-go.com/Ben Lomond-hotel.html. So it's there. So check that out.
Yeah,
now you,
the new owners, they don't have groups go in anymore. They don't do that.
Yeah, you know, it's funny.
They don't like going there.
What's funny is
they don't want to promote the ghost hotel. Yeah, you know.
I've never understood that because, you know, it really can work in their favor, especially with groups that are paying good money to go there. You know, I would tend to think it would be an economic draw. You know, it just depends. I guess it just depends on the staff and the way they work. But yeah, we had that just recently with the one hotel. I won't get into the name of it, but got pretty rude with us. And all we did was call and say hi. And next thing we know, we're getting a phone slammed down on us, you know. And I wrote a rather indignant letter right back and gave it right back to them. I was like, hey, I'm not going to stay at your dumb haunted hotel. Forget it. You know, but, you know, it's just, to me, some of these places, it is a real draw. You know, that could work in their favor. I guess it's just a personal thing. But
Kathy's just come in. Hi, Kathy.
Yeah, Kathy's just in the course is here. The boot button is here. Hello, yeah, Kathy. Yes. She is the booter.
Okay.
So anyway, keep going. Now you had the experience with the elevator that you saw the guy who disappeared, but anything else happened there?
Only when I went to bed, I always put my hair up in a ponytail, and
uh-huh.
I felt my ponytail being tugged, and I've never felt that before. I thought maybe it's a slid on the pillow or something. I thought maybe Sherry next to me did it, and I turned over, and she was facing the other way, and I asked her, and she said, no, you know. I just went, okay. But that was the only thing, and I've never had it. I've never felt that again, the way it felt that night. And I just thought that was a little strange. So I don't know if that was anything or not, but I noted it in my little notebook. But
yeah,
anyway.
That's actually quite common. A lot of investigators, you know, report touching. I generally get touched on the head when, you know, I go out in different places. I'll be sitting there, and all of a sudden you'll ask for a sign, and they'll come touch you on the hair.
Oh,
and
well,
I get
wait,
that kind of spider web feeling.
I have a story about that, too. And that all happened in the Asylum 49 that we went to. And that's in Tooele. I was calling it Thule, but that's not – it's spelled T-O-O-E-L-E, but they pronounce it Tooele.
Okay.
And it's an old hospital. It was built and opened in 1953. And half of it was closed in 2001. And the other half was bought out by Kim Anderson and his wife. And they're going to make it into a place that kids can go in the community. And they have, like, a haunted house, you know, every October and that kind of thing. But they discovered that it really was haunted. So they started having, you know, groups, you know, investigating groups come in, and all the proceeds that they make from any of the money there go to the other half. The other half is a low-income senior citizen's home, so people are still living there on the other half, and so their proceeds go to them, to help them and the facility.
That's a neat idea. Yeah, having the ghosts help pay the freight for the living.
Mm-hmm. Now, they have permanently set up, they have like 8 cameras. They were supposed to be security cameras set up in different locations in the hospital. But they started getting things and seeing things on these cameras. So they found out this place was really haunted. Now, but when we first went in there we were setting up and we were going to go through the walkthrough. We went through a walkthrough first. Things were happening just through the walkthrough. We went into a labor delivery area, and Robert heard a voice from the room right next to us. Then he heard it again, and I heard that voice. I heard it. He heard it 3 times. I got my dowsing rods out, and I was getting hits on my dowsing rods. Then, we went down and we went into the conference room where apparently things happened there. I was standing with my back toward the doorway. I was right by the door to the hallway, and while the guy was telling us about things that going on there. And Maury had left the room, and all of a sudden I felt somebody, you know, walking up. You know how you can kind of hear somebody walk up behind you and you just kind of feel that they're there? And I thought Maury had come back and had walked up, you know, beside me. And I turned and looked and nobody was there. And I jumped because it felt like they got really close. I jumped and the guy said, oh, yeah, that's so-and-so, or I forget his name, Michael or something. He always comes in and pops, peeks in the room, walks in and peeks in the doorways. I mean, I really thought it was Maury walking up beside me. And there,
oh, boy.
But it wasn't Maury. when we were going to, we went all back to the main setup area. And while we were setting up, Elsie had gone to the bathroom. We had sent Lori down the hall to set up a camera or something in one of the rooms. All of a sudden, we hear this big yell. It was like a scream. And it scared us, and a few of us thought something had happened to LC in the bathroom. But it just as that time I was heading toward the bathroom, she steps out, and she looks at us and goes, what? I go, you didn't scream? She goes, no. So then we all tear out the door running down to see. We figured it was Lori then. Something happened to Lori. She steps out into the hallway and said, did you guys hear that? We go, you didn't scream? She goes, no, I thought it was one of you guys.
Oh, boy.
So I was like, wow, well, that's a good way to start off the night.
Is this what Raven in the chat room is talking about? Was Raven Crow there?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure who Raven is, but she's talking about marbles and stuff like that and screams, and I wonder if she was one of the people there with you.
Oh, really? Who are you, Raven? Because you have that.
Yeah, Raven. Yeah, what's your name, Raven? Maybe we should call in. Now, this scream, I mean, what was it, just blood-curdling kind of a thing?
It really wasn't that blood-curdling, but I don't know how to describe it. It was just a scream. Oh, it's Sherry. That's Sherry. Yes, yeah, Sherry was with me there at Asylum 49. Sherry's the head of the Whisper group, the Whispers in the Shadows.
All right. Yeah. Well, she calls in, 646-478-0377, maybe... get her on, talk a little bit about what you had going there. We'll see if she calls in or not. And let's see, Tony. Oh, Tony's talking about being in the Bay Area. He's wondering, whoops, my connection just went bye-bye. Sorry about that. Keep going. No, I'm not going to.
So anyway, Sherry and I and Tim took off. We went into the labor and delivery area.
Yeah.
We got some entity to turn on our K2 meter, turn the lights on the K2 meter. We're having trouble getting them to turn it off.
What kind of activity was it? Do you mean it was keeping it solid sustained on?
No, we had it off, and we got it to turn it on. But I had trouble getting it off, a flashlight. But we did get some hits on the K2 meter. We felt something in a different room. We went near a bed. We were on either side of the bed. We couldn't get the thing to light up the flashlight or the K2 meter, but I got my dowsing rods out, and we started asking questions, and we were getting hits, and I was getting very strong pulls on my dowsing rods. And we found out that the answers that we got, that it was a boy, and that he was like 13 years old, and that he was there with his mother, and his mother had died there, and him and his father were also there. The three of them were together.
Whoa.
Yeah, and as we were asking more questions about, when he died and that, we were counting up the years, but the dowsing rods got very weak, so we never really did get to figure out when he died. And at that moment, I felt something else come into the room. Sherry can attest to it. I turned and I looked, and I'm looking around the room, and I felt something else there. At that time, we asked, because Sherry said that he was standing next to him. She could feel him hugging her. And we asked, did you like Sherry? And I got a yes on the dowsing rods, and we also got an EVP off of that too, I believe.
I think Sherry's here. I just answered at 407. You're on.
Hi.
Hi, Sherry.
Karen. Hi, John.
Hello.
Oh, I'm glad you're here.
I am too. I'm hanging out here. It's almost midnight here.
Jeez.
Where are you at?
I'm in Florida.
Oh, my God. You really traveled to get out to this place in Utah.
Well, she used to live in Las Vegas, but she just moved.
Oh, okay. Makes more sense now. Well, this whole thing with this screen then and all these different activities that were going on, I mean, did you hear this screen too, Sherry?
Yes, I did. I think Maury may be able to get the audio from that from the people that own and run it.
Okay, because I got her coming on.
One of us heard it.
Yeah, I got Maury coming on August 1st. I'm going to have her on next week, so I'll talk to her about that and see if we can get that EVP on.
Yeah, that was when we were setting up, and nobody was really taping anything at the time, but they did have their security cameras up and sound, so they may have something that from that night.
Huh. And Maury, she gets around too. I mean, she's got a lot of connections out there, and I'll give her a yell and see what she's got going on, and see what we can get ahead of time to kind of play some of that. But what other things happened with you, the two of you, when you were out there?
The flashlight was blinking. Remember, Karen, when we were with that gentleman that was walking us through that room where that person was hugging me. He put his flashlight down in the next room we went to, I think, and the light was blinking. The flashlight was blinking. Do you remember that?
Yep, I do.
And
I tried
then,
to get it on camera, but it didn't really come out.
Yeah. And then when we were in the conference room, the marbles were rolling when we asked them to.
Yeah, I wasn't in there for that.
You weren't there? Oh,
no.
I think LC has that on film.
Oh my God.
I have it on my camera, but it's not as close as her camera was. And
it was actually.
Go ahead.
What was happening with these marbles? I mean, can you give us a painting of what that was like and what the conditions were?
Sure. We were all sitting at the table, and we had three marbles on the table, and then a ping pong ball. And I was asking questions and asking if anyone was present, would you please make one of the marbles move? And it rolled towards me and then stopped and then rolled a few inches back to where it was. So that was really interesting.
And there was a few marbles on the table, but only one moved.
Yes. It was only just the one that was in front of me was moving. So we tried to figure out whether somebody had hit the table, but if when they wiggled the table, all the things moved. So it was that one marble that was responding. And then Lori had put her flashlight down on the table, and I think it was Rob was asking questions, and it was responding to the questions.
That's a good idea to carry a few marbles like that, and it's part of your kit. I mean, I usually take a couple of rubber balls and stuff, just as and one of them is got a little light built in. If you just tap it, the light goes off inside the ball. But I'm going to grab some marbles and just do that. That's because they just you fit anywhere, and you got an instant item for them to play with, especially children, child ghosts.
Right, and the ping pong ball's light too. So I was trying to figure out, well, why didn't the ping pong ball move? It was lighter than the marbles. So it was interesting.
And this the conference room was the same room that I had my experiences right before the marble incident.
Yes.
That's where I got touched.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Rob was using his crystal to ask questions, you know, a pendulum, and he was getting responses. So I asked the entity there if they would mind touching me, if they would mind touching my hand, because I had never been touched before and I wanted to know what it felt like. And Rob's pendulum, he asked it, and it said yes. It answered yes, that it would do that. So I stuck my hand out, palm down, just my arm straight out over the table. And I waited, and I waited. I didn't think anything was going to happen. And then all of a sudden, I felt like a snap, kind of like a little pinch or snap on my wrist.
Yeah.
And then my palm of my hand kind of started bending downward. And I just felt this real tingly, electrically, you know, charged feeling all through my hand and down my arm. And I just went, whoa. So I got cut.
That sounds like it was messing with your neurology. I mean, the fact that it moved your hand for you. I've heard that before with different people talking about that, where it kind of, it's almost like they put their hand overlaid over yours and then grab it for a minute to just show you
what
they can do.
You know what it reminded me of? You know how old gentlemen back then would grab a lady's hand and, you know, your wrist would be bent and they would kiss the top of your hand? That's what it reminded me of.
Whoa.
I felt like I was getting, you know, my hand pulled up, the wrist goes down, and like my hand was, that's what I thought of anyway. Was he giving me, you know, a kiss on my hand? I don't know.
At least he was a gentleman.
Mm-hmm. But that was wild. That was cool. Also I want to say, when we were in the labor and delivery room, after we felt this other presence come in, we went into the, we weren't getting any more activity, you know. We asked when we were in there, I says, this other person came in, are you not allowed to talk anymore? If you can't talk anymore, give us a bang. And we did get a little knock from the other room right after that. So we went into that room, and that's kind of like the main desk area. And we were in there. I got some EVPs from that room. I got a hit on my dowsing rod going toward this door. We opened the door with some closet. We asked, are you hiding in there? And we got an EVP from that saying something about being in there. We heard a chair move, so we left the room. But while we were in there, we didn't know this at the time. After we went back to the central area, Maury and I forget who else went down back where we were to check it out, because they said while we were in there, there were lights. The camera was up above the door going in, facing down into the room, and they said that there were lights shooting over our heads toward the camera, which we didn't see when we were in there. So they went in there to try to recreate that, to see if they could make the lights, you know, and they could not recreate it. And because they were sitting in the central, they had a camera in there, and they were watching as we were in there, and they saw these lights on the camera.
What color were they?
I think they were just white, weren't they, Sherry?
I believe so. Yes.
It's funny because we out here in California, Nevada, we constantly see blue orbs and blue lights. You know, white. We've seen a few of the standard white type lights, but lately it's been blue, and it just seems to be like certain areas seem to have different characteristics with their haunts, and we've seen it all through the Sierras and into Virginia City.
Well,
this whole
thing
with blue. Pardon me?
I've seen blue lights out here in the old cemetery out here, which I thought, okay, I must be mistaken. Why a blue light? But then somebody else said, no, I've seen blue lights. I saw the blue lights too. So.
Well, yeah, you know, I mean, blue and violet are going to be their higher vibration colors, and they're going to be, that's basically at the low end of what spirits would be able to manifest at. You know, so there's been other colors reported getting down into orange and red, and that's really low vibration type thing. But you know, it just strikes me that if a spirit is in a pretty good mood, and you know, and I hate to do this and just say it's an emotional thing, but you got to think about that because you know, it is for us it's a higher energy state, and you kind of associate that with good vibes, you know. So you're probably seeing some fairly nice people if you see those kind of things. And that's generally, every time we've seen the blue, we've been around spirits and gotten EVPs that have been over fairly positive, you know.
Well, that's good to know.
Yeah, so, yeah, dead silence there after I got done making that utterance. What?
It's
What else happened, though, out there? I mean,
While we were in the labor and delivery room, Lori and Rob had gone down, I guess, to the surgery area or x-ray area, and they were, you know, doing EVPs. And apparently, while they were in there, they had asked something. The dog started barking, and they played it for us there so we could hear it, and it was really wild because the whole night I don't think we really heard dogs barking, but on this tape there's just like dozens of dogs just were howling and barking as they were answering asking questions. They were getting louder and louder, and then they asked, are you the ones making the dogs bark? And as soon as they asked that, it total silence.
Oh my.
All the dogs stopped barking instantly. And we have it on tape. We heard it. They played it for us while we were there. And it was just like, wow. I mean, how do you get that many dogs to stop barking instantaneously? It just doesn't happen.
I'm writing that down because I want to get that with Maury. Maury was there when this happened too?
Oh, yes. Uh-huh.
And there were shadows down that hallway towards the door.
Yeah.
When we were in the hallway, there was a lot of shadows, and he was telling us about what they saw there as well.
Yeah, he said he had gone on the floor down this hallway toward this door, and apparently because they keep seeing a shadow come out of the doorway, and it's an exit door, but it's all chained up, it's locked. And there's a room right next to it, and I guess a shadow comes out of that room and comes out into the hallway and then goes back in. So he was with people, and he had crawled down on the floor. I think he was trying to get a picture. He was setting up a camera. And then while he was laying on the floor, everybody started going, get up, get out. The shadow was creeping on the floor near him, and he looked, and this thing was crawling on the floor at him. And it scared the crap out of him. And he said he will not go down any farther than that, and he will not get on the floor anymore because he said this thing was crawling on the floor toward him, and it really scared him.
And there's a chair in one room that kept moving. They heard the chair drug across the floor.
And we heard that chair.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, this place is friggin' haunted.
Yeah, well, it really is. It really is. I got lots of EVPs from there. And let's see what else. Oh, then we went back into the This was later in the evening. We went back into the, I guess it's the ER area. Maury was with us. She was seeing shadows. We saw lights in the room. At one point, she was laying on a bed. We were getting hits on the K2 meters. We were getting the flashlight turned off and on. We were hearing the squeaking noise, and Maury asked us, "You guys hear that?" And we were like, "Yeah, it's your bed." And she goes, "No, it's not my bed," because she was laying on the bed. She goes, "Here," and she jumped up and down, and sure enough, it wasn't that noise. It didn't creak like what we were hearing. And so she asked the entity, whatever, would you like to come sit on the bed with me? You know, come lay down on the bed with me, but not on top of me, because that would be kind of kinky, just next to me. And then the next few minutes you hear her say, "Did you just fill me up?" She said she felt like she'd been felt up. And it's just funny that not too long after that, I got an EVP, not right after she had said that, saying, "I want to F," which I can't say anymore.
Oh, my God.
You get the idea. Yeah. And I thought, "Well, you should not teach you to be laying on beds."
You know, it's funny. I've brought this up a few times in the past, but it's a good time for those of you who haven't heard this before. But a lot of EVP involve, fairly graphic descriptions of things that these spirits would like to do, or fairly big on cussing and colorful metaphors. So when we play a lot of on-air stuff, it's usually pretty tamed down what we pull out on air. I am thinking one of these days, and I've said it in the past, is to actually do a show and pull out the really good stuff and give you put it as a kind of a X-rated show and just pull out the stuff and play it and say, here's what you really get when you're out there in the field. So Oh, Old Crow is saying Blog Talk is acting up again. I'm hoping that we're not having... You guys can hear me fine, right?
Uh-huh. Yes.
Okay. That makes sense. We're on Skype. So if it... Forget my own damn technology here. So if anybody else is out there other than Old Crow is having trouble, just let me know. We'll get the word out. So I'm watching that. But anyway, so Crow is taking off. Thank you for being here, my friend. What else happened after that with the bed thing, if you will? I'm certain it's better.
Well, let's see. After that, we had gone down into another X-ray room. A psychic had been in. They've had a psychic in, and she had gone around the whole place and told them what spirits she thought were there, and she drew pictures of these spirits and wrote a little bit about each one of them, and they hung the pictures up in each of the rooms where the psychic said this piece and people were hanging. When we had gone through the walkthrough, I saw this picture of a guy named Peter in the X-ray area, and apparently he had worked there at one time. But for some reason, I just felt akin to this Peter, and I told him when we were there, I said, "I'm coming back to talk to you." So the last place we went was there, and Sherry was in there with Rob and Lori, and they were trying to get the ovulus working, and they were having trouble with the batteries and stuff, and so I was in there with my dowsing rods and was trying to get EVPs, and we started getting a lot of knocks and bangs and clangs and stuff like that in there. Really wasn't getting any answers, but we kept asking questions, and it just, the bangs and clangs were getting very loud. And so finally I said, are you not allowed to talk to us? Is somebody stopping you from talking to us? If you can't talk to us, can you just bang away, just bang? And at that moment I asked that, total quiet. All the bangs stopped.
Every time, that's the thing. It's funny. I mean, it sounds like the same sort of spirit that was doing the business with the dogs. Same behavior, Once you confront it, it's over.
Mm-hmm. Which is very strange.
I hate that about the paranormal. It's like, they do all this stuff to get your attention. Then you go over there and go, okay, you got me. I understand. It's you. And then they just, like, disappear. They think that's, like, I wonder if they get, like, a big charge out of it, if it's, like, a big joke there.
Well, you know, so many groups come in all the time. I'm sure it does probably become kind of a game, you know? They need some entertainment. Why not? Well, they had told us, the guys that own the place, Kim there, had told us that they felt that there was a, like a head spirit there, you know, that was kind of controlling people. And he would kind of say when or when they can't talk. And it seemed that was kind of how it was going. Like in the room, it's like they were talking to us and then we felt something else come in there and then they stopped talking. So it did seem like something was there saying, no, I don't want you to answer those questions or something like that. It just seemed that way. So that
now,
could be.
I've got a few EVPs here, but and Kathy's asking me, how's my back? My back is hurting like hell right now, but I took some pain meds and it's actually better off than if I hadn't taken anything. So I'm doing good. But let's see, we've got some EVPs here that I'm not sure. One says Attic Unknown, and I think these are from not from this location, but I think it's from Stockton, the Stockton case.
Yeah, that's from the Masonic Lodge, yeah.
Yeah, and I've got Tiggle. Do you have, is that one of the ones from Stockton, or is that one from Utah?
That's a Stockton, I think, too.
Okay, it looks like I grabbed a bunch of the wrong ones here, but I mean we've got some of yours here, but we can I'll tell you what, with what's coming up for Maury coming out on August 1st, I think we probably will get some of those ones that we had from the case you're talking about, get four or five of those together, and then we'll just play those on that night. And but we can play some of these here. Just a few, just real quick, and see what we got. This Attic Unknown, do you remember anything about this one from the Stockton case?
I believe that's when us three girls, Renee and Michelle, were up in the attic. And Renee got her butt grabbed.
Oh, yeah, the attic, just briefly, this case is in Stockton, California, at the Stockton Masonic Lodge, number 19. And really nice people there. They let us have the run of the place. Huge building, five stories, over 50 rooms. Many, many thousands of square feet of open space to investigate in. And lots of spirits. And we had an attack on the guy who was taking us through there the first time we went through. He was actually tackled and thrown down. And we got pictures. And I actually heard the guy yelling that hit him, the spirit, I actually heard him yelling at me, and I was, you know, and I've played this on the show before. So this was on the same area then. You guys went up there, I think, to clear that space, right? And I have news on that, by the way. It's not cleared. It turns out I talked to Dan this morning. The space has more spirits in it, new ones. So it seems like got rid of one.
I told you when I was listening to my EVPs, I had two of them, and they sounded like different men. It sounded like there were two different people up there.
Yeah, and I got a woman up there, too. I got EVPs of a woman speaking, too. So there was, we know of at least three entities, and now I'm hearing four to five.
Sounded different.
Well, why don't we play this? This is Attic Unknown, so I'm going to play it at 100%. I didn't have time to play this before, so let's just see what we got. Here we go.
It's been a while since I've heard them.
Can you let him go? So I don't know.
What? Now, do you know what that was saying? Was that you?
No, I don't know what was being said. That sounded terrible.
Can you try it again?
Can you let him go?
Sounds like a woman speaking. I'm not sure if that's one of the investigators.
I really don't know. Yeah, it's been a long time since I've listened to those, and you know how they change. So, but
yeah,
if it said unknown, I didn't know what it said in the first place. And it
all right,
might not be that I cleaned up real well.
Let's try Tiggle and see what we get with Tiggle, and then we'll ask the story about that. Here we go.
Do you know who Dan is? Dan's a member here, Dan Perez.
The screen just refreshed a sec. I want to play that. I'm gonna ramp it up a little bit to 200%, and try playing that again because I thought I heard it.
Do you know who Dan is? Dan's a member here. Dan Perez.
Now I did. Do you remember what this tiggle was?
No, I think that's just what it said. Tiggle.
Okay.
That's why I thought it was a name.
Now there's two. I think I made a mistake here. I've got two. Karen, can you come back? EDP, Karen, come back, and I'll try playing both, one and then the other, and we'll see what we got. So let's try the first one.
I'm gonna open up my documents and.
I heard that. I heard that. Let me boost that up. It was a whispering. And that's what we were getting a lot of in that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of them in that place are. And it's right on top of old graveyards and also the old China. There's a lot of old Chinese businesses through there. Stockton has just a huge, huge Chinese history. And we run into that constantly throughout the state. As a matter of fact, I mean, we have a Chinese influence even here on my property. We have found Chinese pottery and different things. And we have one of the old long walls, Chinese long walls, here about 450 feet from to my left from here in the studio that was built. And so these things came up, and we were plowing in the fields, and we found all kinds of influence like that. So it's a real big thing out here. Now let's try the next one and just see if it's the same one. I might have uploaded it twice, so let's see what we get. And now I heard that. That's a slightly different one, and it's a male voice. You can definitely hear speaking there. It's in the first couple of seconds there. Right there.
I can't hear you.
Good catches.
But I have one that says, "You come back." Yes, my name is Dan, I think I have on there. It says, and one
yeah.
Then
yeah.
Go there.
Now, what did you record with on that? Blue Goose is asking.
What did I record with?
Oh, yeah, what kind of?
Is it? It's a RCA, I believe it is. Digital recorder.
Yeah. And we've used those in addition to you. Who was it that has that? Spencer Hughes has used the RCA and Olympus. He got into that. And he's got more recorders than I do. And I call him the crack addict of audio recorders. He's got like 10 recorders now. He's got me outclassed. I've only got 7. So, what are you looking to get on the next one? Are you trying to, you going to go a step up, or are you going to just get an extra
one? I was thinking of getting that one that you can do the real time, where you can hear real time, where you can pause and back and listen, but it will still be recording while you're listening to what you just.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's one that.
Ghost Stop
has them, I think, and I just saw something that from Chris. Who's that famous. I'm trying to remember his name, Chris, something or another. H2, I have an H2 myself, and I'll have to actually do some stuff on the show about the H2. I'm trying to think of what his name is, Chris something or another. He's a famous paranormal investigator and medium, and he had something just recently on it, and I'll have to see if I can pull it up for next week. Elizabeth is saying, what did she say, John? Couldn't hear her. I think, I'm not sure, we went right past that, so, but the RCA and, what's interesting is, RCA does some different things with their recorders, along with Olympus. Some of the lower end recorders have the ability to, actually turn on at a set time, so you can actually set these things and walk away and, leave them as drop recorders, and then they turn themselves on and know how long to record and then shut off, which, none of my Sonys, even though you know I'm a solid Sony man. I love the Sonys, but it's a capability I'm glad we have with Spencer. And I don't know if yours. I think yours may have that on your RCA.
I think mine does actually.
Yeah.
Also, I like it. It just has so many folders, so you can
get
a lot
folders.
On
yeah. Now, Blue Goose is asking a question here. Okay, let me ask a question. I wanted to go to a graveyard and try this out. All I need is a recorder. Yes, it's a good idea always to take a number one, two people, not just one. Go there. It's just a safety thing. My belief when you go out and do work in graveyards. Number two, definitely say prayers and do protection work on yourself. There are things out there that are not especially human that hang out sometimes in graveyards, and it's a good idea when you do go out there to kind of protect your energy and go out there when you're not sick or open or vulnerable. But when you go out with the equipment you need, definitely take a good recorder, extra batteries, because I've had battery drain many, many, many times in graveyards. It's gone, and you're going, well, this sucks. I'm all the way out here, and I don't have extra batteries. And I've had that happen twice. So remember to bring the extra batteries and be ready to go. And have a digital camera. Take pictures in addition to your recording. You will be surprised at the things you get. And, you will definitely get evidence, Blue Goose.
Also, if it's windy, bring something to cover your recorder with.
Oh, absolutely. You can get a simple microfilm cover, one of the windscreens. They're only a few bucks, Or you can just make if it's a budgetary thing with you, just go get some, find a box with some of the packing foam and just snip it out with scissors and then just put it over the recorder and you got yourself an instant free microphone windscreen. Another way to do it would be to put the recorder, if it's really, really windy, put the recorder in a cardboard box, put a few holes, punch a few holes in it, and then put the microphone near it, and just a little bit of foam in front of it, and you've got the same thing, and it and you won't have all the noise of you handling everything. It's nice. Another step with recording out in graveyards in the outdoors. Pay attention to the wind direction, but also set the recorder down as often as possible and don't handle it. And that's even true in building investigations. Set it down. You have much less to worry about in terms of extraneous noises from you actually handling the recorder. And a lot of people don't realize that until they go to analyze the recording and then, wham, you're like, oh, my God, what was I doing? You're hearing all this noise. And the less you're handling it, the better.
Also, when going to graveyards, be respectful.
Absolutely.
Go look at the grave sites. Say the people's names. Say them out loud. Talk to those people. Say hi or just read what's on the tombstone. If you say their names, a lot of times
absolutely.
They come to see who's come to visit them, and they will answer
yep.
you.
They do. They love their names said. It's something that we've just discovered in doing the work that we do. They're desperate for attention in a lot of ways. Now, a lot of people have, when you go into the paranormal community and you ask questions about graveyards, everybody's got a different opinion. And I look at it that they're not there waiting for you. They're not stuck there a lot of the times. What they are is they're, when you say their name, you're actually bringing them through wherever they're at, and they're kind of already aware you're going to be there. The way time works, the way the paranormal works, there's no real surprises for them. They know, we're operating at a deficit compared to what they operate at. But they're there waiting, when we come popping in, and then when we choose of our own free will to acknowledge them, they love that. That's just that makes their day, and they're willing to come through and do things for you. Some of the ones that we run into, though, are earthbound. They haven't crossed. And we get that out in Coloma quite a bit, where they'll ask you to help them cross over, and then we give them information on what to do to help themselves. And that's always well received, and they've liked that a lot about us. So we have some pretty good relationships with some of the spirits over there. Some have chosen not to cross over, but know who we are and call us by name when we go out there. So. You hunted with me out there. You know the drill. Raven dropped off. So I just wanted to say, Sherry, thank you for coming on there. We were kind of rude and left you out of the dust there. So my apologies. And we enjoyed having you on there.
Yeah.
We got to have you back on
thank
the show and
on,
talk
Sherry.
With her about some stuff.
Yeah. He's been on a lot of investigations.
Yeah.
Also, I don't know if you want to bring this up. Remember I was talking about Peter from the asylum?
Yeah.
Remember you did a reading for me not too long ago.
Yeah.
And one of the, you said somebody was here with me. And
yeah, I remember that.
You said the name was Peter.
Yeah.
Now, I had asked John to do a reading for me because I had been hearing my name being called
uh-huh.
in my ear. I've been, you know, somebody was saying, Karen. And I was wondering, okay, who's around me? John came up with this name, Peter. And the only person I could think of was Peter from the asylum, who I had felt this akin with, you know, while I was there. So what I did was I had to go to work. So I wrote down some questions on a piece of paper, and I asked, uh-huh. "Are you the Peter, you know, from the asylum? Did you follow me here from the asylum?" Gosh, I asked a few more questions. I can't remember all of them now. I've got them written down. But anyway,
yeah.
So what I did, I told him I left a pencil there, and I said, "Well, if you can't write, I've got my recorder here. Just talk into the recorder and answer my questions." So I went off to work, and I got back, and I listened to my recording, and I got answers for
wow.
my questions. Now, this recorder was running for 8 hours. I only got EVPs the first 8 minutes just right after I had left, and the rest was quiet.
Yeah.
So, and it did say that he was Peter, and it said yes to, did he follow me home from the asylum? So,
feels good to be right.
Are you the Peter from the asylum? Did you follow me home from there? How can I help you? Are you unhappy? And I got yes and yes and yes and take me there or back. It sounded like some EVPs I got. And then I got one that says that you left, which I did because I left for work. And yeah or here, it says, and there's an unknown one. So... so I don't think he's still here anymore. I told him I would try to help him go over. I was going to light a candle and do a ceremony. I did talk to him and just say, you know, you can just, you know, go to the light. You know, just talking out loud, you know, saying, you know, people, your loved ones and the people you love are over toward the light. Just go to the light, but I will try to help you. And I never did get to the ceremony because I was working, and but he seems to be gone. I did an EVP session again, asking if he was here, you know, trying to get some answers. I've done my K2. I got nothing. So apparently he's gone. But I thought that was wild. And when the night that John did say that somebody was here with me now, I got my dowsing rods out, and sure enough, I was getting hits in this room when he said that. And I said, oh, my God, somebody is here.
Well,
that's,
you know,
an interesting, you know, ending to it all.
Now, what do you plan to do? You know, we're coming up towards the end of the show here now, and we haven't gotten into any soul streaming, and I'm kind of, you know,
I'm
my back's hurt enough. I'm just going to say we'll go to 9:30, and then I'm going to go, you know, kick back and take some more pain meds and relax. But what do you have planned in addition, I mean, to our missions, but for things that you want to do there in Phoenix and surrounding area? What cases are striking you or places you want to hit?
Oh, well, there's some they're kind of out-of-the-way places, so it's going to take a little bit to do to get to them. They're old ghost towns, one's down by on the way to Tucson. It's Crown King is one I'd like to go to. There's another one up north. Gosh, you got me. I can't remember the names now. I got them all written down.
Oh, don't worry.
I'd also like to
give you the basics.
Go to Jerome, to that hotel in Jerome.
Oh.
supposed to be haunted.
Yeah.
There's also one up in Flagstaff. There's a hotel up in Flagstaff, right downtown Flagstaff. There's a few places like that. It's just, God, it's just a matter of getting time off and, you know. But if you
yeah,
go...
That,
to,
yeah.
The other one's near Congress is where it is.
What, in D.C.?
It's a actually is a Congress cemetery. That's where I saw the blue lights that I've been up there. It's just an old graveyard where, you know, some of them you can't even tell names or just holes. It's just out in the middle of the desert.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a really, really neat place. They discovered not too many years ago. And they've surrounded it with a fence to keep people out and stuff now, you know, that they found it.
Well, that's the thing that we're going to be doing with the new truck and the new setup with the teardrop trailer, being able to get out to these outdoor locations like what you're talking about. And if you watch the series Destination Truth, they like to do that. They take that their cameras and they do that basically north, south, east, west configuration with their their infrared cameras and kind of do a circular pattern with their infrared. And that's essentially what we're going to be doing. We're going to have hardline cameras that we can actually spread out, drive right into the middle of a haunted location, and depending on the situation, but basically get that kind of coverage and be drive up. Get out, pull up a few switches, maybe run a generator, and boom, we're in business, and we've got everything we need to keep going. So, and Dominica is talking about Pyramid Lake by Reno. Pyramid Lake has got a pretty interesting history with Indian Wars there, Dominica. I know quite a bit about it. We actually had a run-in with the guy who was Story County is named for. Over there in Virginia City, he's buried on the very topmost point in the Boot Hill Cemetery there. He's the guy who threw all the guys from Ghost Adventures crew. Zach, he grabbed Zach by the scruff of the neck and hauled him out of that cemetery. And I got a great EVP from him. He was like all happy he did it. Yeah, and because we came in real respectful, and he talked to us, but he grabbed Zach and hauled him up by his ass and sent him back. And I never heard back from. I sent that EVP to Zach and crew, and I never heard a word back about it. It was like, oh yeah, I think they figured it out, you know.
I'd also like to go to Oatman, which you.
Where's
might,
that at?
Oatman is near. It's on the way down from coming back here, Las Vegas. It's near Laughlin.
Yeah.
And if we come down that way, we can actually go through Oatman.
Yeah, I think we're gonna have a kind of an itinerary. But one of the things that's real nice with me on trips is I'm kind of one of those guys who I look at the itinerary and say, yeah, those are guidelines. We're just going to go where our nose takes us. So we're just going to be doing that. And you guys are going to be, yelling at me, stop, and I'll do it. if we decide that we're going
to
hit different
here.
Spots. Pardon me?
It's one way you can go to come down from Las Vegas. Mm-hmm. When we're coming down, we can go that way instead. And actually, it's probably better. And just stop through there. Because it is kind of on the way down, but that's it's an old, neat little town, and they have a little hotel there. That's a place where they just let the donkeys walk the streets.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, there's just donkeys walking around the streets.
Just watch where you step.
Yeah. Well, my mother was freaking out because one kept following her around, and my dad thought it was real funny, so he was taking pictures, and she was laughing. She was yelling at him, "Stop taking pictures! Get this thing away from me!" It wouldn't leave her alone.
It's a reincarnation thing.
Yeah.
Man was condemned to be an ass the rest of his life. Yeah. Oh, God. Oh, no. Anyway, hey, we're coming up. We got 9:24. Now you're going to be just so everybody knows the 24th or not 24th this coming Thursday. You're going to be coming out here, and then Friday night we're going to be on the road, and we may actually, if I can check, Kathy, I'm going to check this, and if it's possible, we might be able to call in, maybe from the campsite. I may be able to get enough cell signal to dial out. And I'll see how we do. I mean, I'll give you a call from wherever we're at, and if we can get signal, great. If not, maybe not get a show out. But if we can get one out there, we'll actually dial in from the site that we're at. And who knows? Maybe we'll be able to do a quick show out there and just call in and do 30 minutes off out in the middle of the boonies in the middle of our investigation. So we're looking forward to that. I'm just excited that we've never slept in a ghost town before.
Oh, I know.
So
it's going to sleep.
Yeah, that's the part we have absolutely no idea about what is going to be greeting us there. But knowing what we picked up in Bodie before, it was just an astounding amount of evidence. So I think 12 miles away isn't going to make that much of a difference, and we'll probably be the only people out there. So I'll definitely have enough things to protect us out there and things like that. But when it comes to spirits, they're going to just come in there anyway. I can't very well shoot at them, but I will have some ultraviolet lights. That seems to be something that does drive them away if things get a little too intense. But this is what we are all about. So it's going to be a great having you there, my friend.
I'm looking forward to it. I'm excited.
Yeah, and we'll definitely take some of our more exotic gear. We're going to have the for the daytime work. We definitely will be using the full spectrum,
yeah.
And the full spectrum has just turned out to be a great tool for us. And we're getting more comfortable with it, and when to use it and when not to. And we'll definitely do some shows. Tony G out there is pretty experienced from what I can see. He's talking about equipment, and he would appreciate that kind of a show, and I'm sure a lot of others would. So we'll be talking a bit in future shows about some of the equipment we use and how to use it, and go from there. It's going to be great. Renee's going to be there with us, and we'll be it'll just be an interesting time. I got a feeling that this is a great mission coming up.
Yeah, I do too. And it's supposed to be a full moon.
Actually, full moon is right now. Full moon is now.
This coming weekend.
Nope, it's full moon right now. Tonight is the full moon. Yeah, it'll be the waning crescent by the time we get out there, and it'll be getting towards new moon. And it's funny, I've noticed more paranormal activity on the downside with the moon when you get less light and you get into new moon activity. So it'd be interesting to see what we get out there. Again, this is a complete unknown for us. We're going out there where I don't think too many people have ever really thought about doing paranormal investigation out in that particular spot in the desert. So we'll only be about a mile from the Nevada border is how close we'll be there. So, we're definitely out in the boonies, and it's going to be interesting. But we'll definitely have all of our accoutrements with us, and it'll be interesting to see what we get.
I can't wait to experiment.
Okay. Well, with that, we're going to do a picnic. Matter of fact, I'm bringing burgers, and we're going to be cooking out in the desert, and I'm going to be doing John's Paranormal Burgers. You can see the recipe out on the GRI website, so I'll be having all the accoutrements for that, and we'll be exercising the new truck and celebrating that. So, but anyway, we've got just about a minute and a half left. We've got Kathy has been womaning the boot button, not manning, and we have Dominica Amore. Don, we love you, and Elizabeth, same here. We love you, dear. And we got Fire Witch, and she's a sweetie. And let's see, John is here. That's me. Got Karen's Dream. She's on the line with me too. And we have Raven Crow and Tony G. And for all the lurkers out there that are not in the chat room, God bless you. Thank you for listening in. And for all those that download the show later, thanks to you for doing that. This is Ghost Rider Paranormal Radio. We're going to be on this coming Thursday night. Karen will be in studio with me here. And Karen, I do have extra headphones set up. The secondary guest mic is up and running. I've got the mixer board all set for you.
Boy,
so
I get to be
you
official.
Are all set, my dear, and you even have your own coffee cup here in the studio.
All right.
All right. Well, hey, we've got 15 seconds left, so good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
We'll
thank
see
you
then this coming Thursday, and thank you. Thank you, Karen.
Blessings to y'all. Bye-bye.
Okay. God bless everybody. Take care.
You are listening to Ghostwriter Paranormal Radio, coming to you from the Haunted Studios here in Shingle Springs, California, live on blogtalkradio.com. Karen, are you still with me? She is not. All right. Thanks, everybody, for listening in, and a great show tonight. So we will be seeing you guys this coming Thursday evening. And look for a little bit of soul streaming here. We might do something ahead of time. I might do a soul stream on Tuesday night, bring some spirits in, help you guys talk to your friends and loved ones on the other side. Take care now. This is Ghostwriter Paranormal Radio signing off.